Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Our opening hour offers two more players in the exploding world of smart TV set and gadget-delivered content services. Happy Kids from Future Day leads off, and co-founder Big Mac McClure joins me next. Up second is Sanctuary, a sanctuary of yoga and meditative programs. Chief Executive Officer Robert Martin and his R Bode, next half hour. And it's been a great while since Crackle has come forward with a new scripted series. They will on Thursday with Spies, a very way offbeat alien tale. Learn all about it from executive producer Bernd Schlatterer. That's top of the next hour live from Munich, Germany. Also ahead, Macy's virtual tea parade, a round of renewals, and our new classic trivia question. And oh yes, a syndication granddaddy makes a big milestone tonight. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book, maybe two, when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Thank you all for joining us on this Monday afternoon for a 90-minute edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. 73 beautiful degrees here in the New York metro area, and we are delighted you're aboard. Got some wonderful guests calling in from all over the place, and we invite you to be part of the program. All you have to do to interact with them is make a call on your own. Dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere you catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Shy about using the phone? No problem. Use our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And, of course, while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, or tune in screen. Follow the instructions. Other people live with you. Big Rep Masseur from Future Day and its Happy Kids Service will join us live from the San Fran area after these news notes. Mega 2x2 virtual events Macy will stage for NBC this year. The first one was the July 4th fireworks display. And for the first time ever, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will not happen live from New York that morning. What will happen on virtual terms? Well, Macy's expects to divulge its plans as soon as later today. New York City officials have canceled large crowd events through the end of 2020 due to coronavirus pandemic concerns. Plenty of series renewals to talk about this afternoon, all of them multi-year. At HBO, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver will stay through 2023 under its new agreement. Oliver marked the 200th episode of his Emmy-winning series last month. On the syndication trail, Dr. Oz has a new two-year pact with Sony Pictures Television, keeping that daytime hour on until fall 2023. Finally, America's Court with Judge Roth, which started second decade last week, remains in session into 2027. Term of that entertainment studio's renewal with Byron Allen and Company, 7 years. Now some quickies. A five-part docuseries on famed Los Angeles club, The Comedy Store, begins October 4th on Showtime. Also on that night, Discovery Channel kicks off its group of undiscovered specials with The Lost Lincoln, produced by Mark Wahlberg's production company. Hulu becomes second home for more than 100 hours of programming first presented on Vice TV, formerly known as Viceland. Stars is open development on two series from Curtis 50 Cent Jackson of Power fame, a drama about a female sports agent, and Moment in Time, an anthology on a seasonal basis dealing with hip-hop music history. And the Television Critics Association has given out its annual award, Bleep's Career, that's the program whose first name we can't say because it's a family-oriented show, for Best Comedy Series, Succession on HBO for Best Drama, and Watchmen, another HBO series, for Best Miniseries or Movie. Watchmen also nabbed Best New Program and Program of the Year. And that is news notes for today. The programming services you can find on smart TV sets and smart devices keep on coming. And today, for this first hour, we have two of them for you. And first up is from a company called Future Day. They've got several of these services, and the one that's really racing up the charts when it comes to kid television is Happy Kids. And you might be surprised at the quality and the range of programming that they offer. Joining us live right now in an internet radio exclusive from the San Francisco area, the co-founder of Future Day and Happy Kids, Vic Restmature. Vic, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Simon. Really nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Before we get underway talking about Happy Kids, tell us what's happening with the fire situation in San Francisco. A lot of us were very shocked at the orange skies over your city, Los Angeles, other parts of California in the past week. How are things going now?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and you know, it's been going on for, I don't know, gosh, about 4 to 6 weeks now, and every year it seems to be getting worse and worse. I've been living in the Bay Area almost about 16, 17 years now, and over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years, the situation has just been getting worse and worse. We're seeing more fires, they're more intense every year, and it's just really sad. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. The air quality is really still really poor here, and it has been, you know, on and off over the last 4 to 6 weeks. And so the kids are all staying inside. You know, we can't really go out. Obviously, we have to wear masks in any case. But it's just making things more difficult.
Well, I want you to know that a lot of people around the country have a lot of thoughts and prayers for your city, for all of California, as well as Washington, Oregon, because of what they saw over this last week. And we, of course, send our thoughts to all the firefighters out there and emergency first responders who are doing their thing to control these blazes. And they will get controlled. Mark the words on that. So let's go over to Happy Kids. How is that going these days? You're very welcome. So how is Happy Kids going these days?
Happy Kids is doing really well. For your listeners who may not know, Happy Kids is a free and safe app or a channel which is designed to educate and entertain millions of kids across a variety of different platforms and devices. We have different shows, music, rhymes, stories, movies, activity guides, and other educational content, which is curated and segmented by age group for different groups of kids. So, you know, 0 to 2, 2 to 4 toddlers, you know, 4 to 6 preschoolers, and then kids 6+. So there's a lot of content. We've been acquiring a lot more content given the pandemic over the last 6 months. There's been a real surge in streaming. Not to say that we hadn't been growing before that, but it's really expedited the adoption and the usage, I would say, in the last 6 months. And so we see a lot more kids, a lot more parents tuning into the app and channel and consuming, you know, more content than ever before. So we're really excited. We've been in this space for about 10 years now. We launched our first app on platforms like Roku, Boxy. Yahoo had a product called Yahoo Connected Television. Google had launched the Google Television originally in partnership with Sony and the other TV OEMs. And so we were one of the first companies to embrace these streaming platforms. And over the last 10 years, we've been evangelizing to the content community, to the OEM and distribution partners, as well as the advertising community, the power of streaming and how it's going to change the consumption of video content in our households. And so we feel like every year over the last 10 years, we've been making progress. But over the last 6 months, because of the COVID pandemic, as horrible as it sounds, the adoption has accelerated. And so so we're excited about that. And we're working hard to fulfill that need and demand that we see in the marketplace.
What kind of progress have you made in terms of the kinds of programming that you offer on the service? What are some of those popular attractions, let's say, that have come to light with kids over the last 6 months due to the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we see that being different based on the various age groups. Just, you know, as a result of the COVID pandemic and with the kids being at home, if you think about parents, you know, and I have a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old, for me, as they're staying home, and even now, you know, with online classes and kids learning from home, there's a bigger need for educational content, right? Where kids can, in addition to being entertained, can also learn about, you know, different topics, different subjects. And so we recently actually, you know, during the COVID pandemic, we announced a partnership with a company called Venture to Learning. That's essentially a program that's a classroom-based program that's available across 25,000 different schools in the country. And so we partnered with them. And as part of our Future Today platform, we launched an app for them, the Adventure to Learning app, which includes thousands of videos, educational and learning videos for kids across a variety of different age groups. And a lot of that content is also being offered through Happy Kids. But in addition to, you know, the educational content that we've added, we've also recently announced partnerships with major content companies and studios. I remember actually being on this show it's been a while, but maybe about, you know, 9-10 months ago, when we had announced a distribution partnership with Lego, where we were going to power and manage Lego's OTT distribution footprint. And so, you know, Lego is obviously a big partner, but we also recently announced partnerships with Mattel, with Nine Story, Millimages, which is a big animation studio in France. So we've just been adding more and more content. And now, as part of the Happy Kids offering, we have about 55,000 different movies, TV shows, and educational videos that you can access through the Happy Kids platform. So there's a lot of content for kids and parents to enjoy together, and across a variety of different formats, animation as well as live action.
Mattel, incidentally, more than a year ago, announced that they would get a very big plan into television, and we may hear more about that later this week because the annual Goldman Sachs Communacopia Conference is taking place virtually for the first time out of New York, and Mattel, one of their chief executives, is going to be speaking there. Maybe we'll find out if Mattel is well on the way now to becoming a major TV series player. We are learning about Happy Kids. It's one of several services available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, part of a company called Future Today. Its co-founder, Vikram Mathur, is with us live from the San Francisco area here this half hour. On tomorrow, will be televised. John Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're with us this Monday afternoon for some 290-minute episodes this week of the program All About the Tube. And we would like to have you involved. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday night's Smart with Televised will preview one of the big film and TV festivals around, IFP Week, which takes place here in the New York area for the first time again, virtually. We'll have two of the key people involved dealing with the television side of things, Deputy Director Tia Brooks and Episodic TV Senior Manager Gabrielle Capolino. And then, if you know somebody who's really into motorcycles and traveling around the open road, free, you know, easy rider kind of thing, we'll let them know that there is now a smart TV plumbing service for them. It's called Choppertown. Well, the founder of that service, Zach Kaufman. And finally, what's been one of the newest sports making its rounds on ESPN? Believe it or not, it's cornhole. That's, you know, the sports where you throw a beanbag into a hole, either indoors or outdoors. Well, it is doing very, very well in these pandemic times. We'll have an exclusive interview with the founder and commissioner of the American Cornhole League, Stacey Moore. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific exclusively. On tomorrow will be televised. In terms of Happy Kids, is the service ad-supported or is it subscriber, and how are you doing either way?
Yeah, it's a completely free service, and it's all ad-supported. It's available on platforms like Roku, Amazon Fire. We're also working with MVPDs like Comcast and Cox. So it's available on a number of different platforms. But we don't ask for any registration. There is no subscription. Everything's available for parents and kids to enjoy for free, and it's completely ad-supported.
I know that the service carries a wide variety of programming. It's not just series. You mentioned it's educational videos. It's tips for parents dealing with their kids. It's movies as well. Are you finding lately that a lot of suppliers, you mentioned Lego, and that's when we had you on the show back when, to talk about the Lego deal. But are you finding that there's more, because you're expanding your reach, that you're getting more interest from various programmers, both major and new players, who want to do programming for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen this over the years, where I think, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, if I would go and talk to programmers and content companies and would want to work with them, I think there was a gap in the industry where folks did not quite understand streaming as well. And that was partly because they themselves were not streaming, and there were not a lot of people that were streaming. And so for them, they were trying to explore a business that they didn't quite fully understand. But over the years, I think as streaming has gone mainstream from a consumer perspective, but then also from an advertising perspective, because now we have more and more advertisers who understand that fewer kids are watching or tuning into linear channels. And so they are more interested in being in front of kids where they are. And as a result, there's more revenue flowing in through these pipes. A lot of programmers have now, over the years, I would say, and especially in the last, I would say, 6 to 9 months, become more interested in having their content and programming be available through streaming platforms. So I see that as an industry-wide trend. I don't think it's specific to us, but in general, I feel like all the evangelism that we've been doing, and the awareness that we've been working towards, since 2010, 2011, which is when we launched our first service or streaming app, it's finally bearing fruit, and people now understand it, people now accept it and are interested in it. I would say from a consumer perspective, obviously in terms of using these platforms to stream and consume content, from a content perspective, to make their content, shows, videos available through various streaming services, and then also from for us specifically from an advertiser perspective, where advertisers are a lot more open and interested in embracing these platforms for their advertising needs.
More and more, Vikram, we're seeing smart TV sets and smart TV devices incorporate artificial intelligence voice features, such as Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, Bixby, Cortina, etc., which allow you to control the television set with your voice as well as remote control. And given that rise in availability of those products, have you looked at experimenting with interactive television, interactive videos, with your service?
Yes, we have. So there's a few different ways in which we think about interactivity. There's the need of helping users find and discover content. There's a question of how can interactivity make that experience more seamless, right? So to the extent that the television environment is such a discovery-based, a navigation-based discovery environment, I should say, as opposed to desktop and mobile, which are very kind of search-driven environments, there is a need for interfaces on the television or consumed through the television and the remote control that the discovery and navigation be equal. So to the extent that we as publishers of content can enable our users to more easily find, discover, and consume content by making that search and discovery experience more seamless through voice features, I think it's a need that needs to be solved. Now, the one challenge there is that if we think about how we have traditionally consumed content and what our experience on the television traditionally has been, we have been used to essentially using, the four buttons up, down, left, and right buttons on our remote control to navigate to different pieces of content and discover them and consume them. And so while we as publishers are trying to make that experience more seamless by introducing voice and other features. There is also, I would say, a gap that needs to be bridged from just a habitual perspective where users are very, very used to, you know, still continuing to use their remote controls and navigation keys to find and discover content, right? And I think for these features to be successful, what we would have to see is we would have to obviously perfect the user experience and the navigational experience, but then also see more users starting to use these features and use them as their preferred way of discovering and navigating to content, as opposed to a secondary mechanism, right? And the third thing that makes it just a little bit more complicated is, you know, the question of privacy and data collection and how you use that information, which, you know, obviously is a big thing for the kids industry, right? So there's a few different things that you need to consider as you're kind of thinking about these features, but I think these features will go a long way in helping users identify, find, and consume content that they're looking for in a much more seamless way, right? So that's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect of interactivity is also how do you, because we work with a lot of advertisers, is there interactivity to be introduced into the advertising experience so that the advertising experience is one more relevant to you, but then also more importantly, it's more customized to you, or it's more actionable for you, right? And that's where we've worked on some ad products where, through various types of interactive experiences, we can really help brands and advertisers connect with the consumers within the content of the consumption experience, as opposed to interrupting that content experience. So I feel like when it comes to interactivity on television, I feel like there's various components that are involved. One on the kind of content discovery and consumption experience side, and then two on the advertising and the associated experience side, that both have long ways to go in terms of being more relevant and making the user experience better and superior for the users.
You are hearing Vikram Mathur. He is the co-founder of Future Today, the programmer behind Happy Kids. That's one of the top ranked and going upward programming services available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices aimed for kids and their parents and family members as well. And Vikram joins us live from San Francisco this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy Ackerman, we'll be live from New York. If you have a question or comment on anything this with Vikram, well, be involved. Call 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, a brand new network is scheduled to launch called Extreme Vibe. They will actually celebrate it with a special event here in New York City, Harlem to be exact. We hope to have the chief executive of that service in a same-day exclusive interview, possibly as our lead guest. So we'll tell you more about that hopefully on Friday. That's Extreme Vibe. We will cover it in some fashion. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming up our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. We'll give you the answer to the one we've been having for you the last 2 weeks. And a brand new question tied in with the Emmy Awards, which come your way this Sunday night, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel on ABC. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up near the top of the hour. Future TV, in addition to Happy Kids, what other services does your company deal with? Are you looking at adding more to your catalog?
Yeah, so Future Today as a company, there's two sides to the business. We have our owned and operated channels, such as Happy Kids. And then we also have a platform and technology business where we work with companies like Lego and help them get distribution on various streaming devices and services. So as part of our owned and operated, we have channels in three distinct buckets: movies and television, kids and family, and lifestyle. Happy Kids, which is our flagship app, is in the kids and family category. But in movies and television, we have an app called Fawesome, Fossum is Forever Awesome Movies and TV Shows, and that's our flagship app that's in the movies and television category. We also have an app called FilmRise, which has thousands of movies and TV shows. Both of these are very, very popular on most streaming devices when it comes to free television and movie content. And then on the lifestyle side, we have iFood, which is our flagship app, which is focused around food and cooking-based content. And so across the portfolio, I would say we have hundreds of apps or channels that we manage in lifestyle, kids and family, and movies and television categories.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're
always looking to add, depending on the... Sorry, Sam, I was just going to say that depending on the brand and depending on the content, we're always looking to add more to that library, to your question.
Well, in fact, that's what I wanted to ask you before we wrap, which is that as we see this incredible explosion of smart TV sets and smart TV devices, where do you see future TNA going in terms of expanding? We already have, as part of this, companies like Cinedigm, Duke and Media and yours that are trying to have a major catalog of services, all of which are from independent players, some are self-grown, but they're all trying to expand the what you can have on these sets of devices.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time to be in the media industry. I feel like, you know, this is really the time that, you know, I personally have been waiting for over the last 10 years as we've been looking at the space. And, you know, for a long time, people were looking at Netflix and saying that subscriptions and subscription-based services are the way of the future, right? But if you look at it now, if you look at the most successful services, you know, obviously you've got the premium services like Netflix, like Hulu, like Amazon Prime, like HBO, that are playing in that, you know, premium subscription space where they're fighting and competing for a share of your wallet. What we're doing is we're essentially trying to offer services and content options to users which are free and you don't have to pay for, right? And we feel like as there is a disintermediation of content and distribution, and as you have now the ability to go direct to consumers, you will have a situation where there's so many different subscription services that not everybody would want to access or subscribe to each service. So you're probably going to have a situation where you have two or three at the most core services that you subscribe to. And then for everything else, you fall back to free ad-supported services, right? Now, whether those ad-supported services are offered in a video on-demand experience through a Netflix-like app, which is available to you for free, or whether they are made available to you in the form of a linear service that you can essentially access similar to Pluto, where you have a lineup of different channels that you can just lean back and browse through, very similar to what we've been doing with traditional broadcast and cable television. There's going to be different options, right? And again, depending on the mood that you're in, depending on whether you're just looking to couch surf or you're looking to, you know, you have 2 hours and you're looking to entertain yourself with a specific type or theme of content, you may go to various services and use them depending on that specific situation, right? So we see a world where more and more content is going to be streamed. We see a world where television is not going anywhere. How you consume television is changing, and your behavior and how you kind of participate in the economy of television consumption is changing. And that's really where we see this going, where we feel like more and more television is going to be streamed, more and more of free television is going to be streamed, and there's going to be a number of different services that people would want to consume and have access to. And again, depending on their situation at that time, depending on their mood at that time, they might go in and out of these free services access them as they wish.
And we will leave it there. Hi, Kids is one of several services under the Future Today banner available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices such as Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, etc., etc. For more details about Happy Kids Online, here's where you go, happykids.tv. That's happykids.tv. And also, Future Today has its own website as well, so you can check out FilmRise and the other services under that banner. Thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you with us. Again, thoughts and prayers to everybody in San Francisco and throughout California and the Pacific Northwest. We will get through this incredible wildfire situation, hopefully sooner than later. And thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, Beckham. Take care. All the greatest.
Thank you. You too.
Benjamin Mathura from Future Day and Happy Kids joining us live from San Francisco. When we come back, we'll talk about one of the newest ventures in smart TV programming. It all deals with yoga and meditation. It's called Sanctuary. We'll go live to the Pacific Northwest. We'll go live to Seattle and talk to its Chief Executive Officer, Robert Martin. Plus, our cafeteria question of the week and more. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradiospeaker.com, tuneinradio.com. Together, reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, TuneIn Radio is at home for the Coronavirus News Channel, all the latest updates on the pandemic all around the world, plus podcasts and other original reporting. Take care with the Coronavirus News Channel. Stay in touch and stay safe. It's available 24/7 at TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised, 9th edition, kicking off your week. Happy to have you joining us on this Monday afternoon. Simon Applebaum here with you from New York, 73 degrees at the top of the hour. We have more interesting people coming your way over the next hour, and we invite you to ring in and be part of the program. Just go to 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll get to our next guest and later on our classic trivia question of the week, but first of all, to find folks at our sponsor, Audible.com. If you're a fan of The Stand by Stephen King, you remember that CBS All Access has got a brand new miniseries version of that acclaimed novel coming your way this December. But you don't have to wait for it to enjoy it. What you got to do? Check out Audible.com and have The Stand be the audiobook you select for a one-month run. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, a one-month trial, for a limited time, health and wellness information, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, if you're already an Amazon Prime customer and you've never done Audible before, you get two audiobooks for the trial of one. And those books can also be your choice from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows. So how about having today be the day that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you love. That's audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. If you were around for television in the 1960s and 1970s, and you tuned in your favorite television station about 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., 6, 6:30 a.m., maybe 7, 7:30, you might have seen a program called Yoga for Health. It was done by someone who is now known as the godfather of yoga programming on television. It was Richard Hittleman. When the show was on, you would see in dark him in a yoga pose. Then he'd stand up, lights come on, and he'd just like see a regular, normal person getting you to enjoy yoga and having it be a practice for you and your lifetime. It ran for a long time in the 60s and 70s, and then a woman named Lilia Spolin took up the relay, if you will, from Hittleman, and became a celebrity of her own with Lilia's Show With You. It started on a public television station in Cincinnati and then became a national sensation. Well, now there is a smart TV programming service on smart TV sets and smart devices that deals with the whole world of yoga and meditation. It's called Sanctuary. And joining us live to talk about it from Seattle, Washington, is the Chief Executive Officer, Robert Martin. Robert, thank you again for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having us, Simon.
And I understand that you may have someone joining us as well.
Yeah, Sarah Goble is here with me as well. She's actually one of the stars of the show here on the programming channel on the Vizio TVs that we have programmed initially. So I asked her to join and maybe give it some additional information about the programming.
Yeah, hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah, good to have you on the program. Did either of you get inspired by Richard Hittleman or by Lilia Spolis to do this service?
I cannot say I was.
I wasn't either.
Sarah's shaking her head. But we were certainly inspired by, you know, lots of different online services that have been programmed in the past, and we talked to a number of them when we initially did our kind of content review.
So, Robert, how long has Sanctuary been on as a smart TV service, and what kind of initial reaction are you getting from viewers?
Sure. So Sanctuary is about a two-year-old startup here in Seattle. It is a business that's primarily about an in-studio physical presence location that provides an incredibly immersive backdrop where a user or consumer will program their session on our app via the phone, which can be found at meetsanctuary.com, find their way to our physical studio, our first test site here in Seattle, and walk into a completely tuned room that has heat, light, scent, all tuned to their specifications, and with a 14-foot screen in front of them that has this beautiful immersive content that we filmed all around the world, including in Mexico, Morocco, Tofino, et cetera. So that content is one element of a in-studio experience that we had initially offered incrementally online. However, we had partner Vizio reach out to us during the onset of the COVID pandemic and ask if we would be interested in programming for Vizio TVs in early April. And so we, of course, only got to work with Cinedigm, our partner, to get that content up and online. It launched just a month or so ago, so it hasn't been online very long. I think the initial feedback has been good in that most folks are, you know, as you would imagine, searching for wellness-related content on all of their various devices and especially on their televisions within these various services that are offered. And when they find ours, they typically are amazed at the quality of it, given that it is a set of programs that is beyond expectations of, you know, any of the content, or certainly well beyond, we believe, any of the content that's out there, and certainly has blown away the expectations of any of those folks searching for such content.
Before we get to Sarah and talk about the programming itself, Robert, how is this presentation on Vizio smart TV sets, hopefully on smart TV devices and other smart sets not far down the road, how is this different or similar to what Peloton is doing, where it started out as you had to have the bike to see the screen, but now they are experimenting with putting their programming on smart TV sets and smart devices so that wherever you're at in the home, you can do their exercises and their writing.
Sure. The primary difference is Peloton's content, as well as lots of other providers, is in-studio content, in that our goal here at the physical site here in Seattle and future physical sites is to transport someone to another location, right? Whether it's Morocco, Mexico, Tofino, some of the places that we have filmed around the world. And so the way it primarily differs in that most of that content is in studio on a mat in, you know, a nice, perhaps beautiful room. Ours is on a mountaintop in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco, on a beach in Sayulita, on, you know, in a beautiful rock garden, you know, here in Seattle and Bainbridge. It's truly transportive, and I would say that is a more extensive exercise, and as a result is far different than the content that the other online providers that we've seen, at least, have currently offered via various services that are out there.
Sarah, when Richard Hillman and then Leah Solon did their thing back several decades ago, it was all in studio. The studio was pretty bare. There wasn't any, you know, bookcases or special effects or anything like that. It was just show the yoga poses, and maybe some background music that was very subtle underneath to sort of get people in the mood. How does the programming on this service look? How do you determine, like, what poses or what techniques you do in a particular episode? And what is the fact that you're doing this on location, out of the studio, in places like Morocco? What does that bring to the experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. So as Rob mentioned a few times, our content is immersive. So that means you're using technology, you're using this screen to actually be transported somewhere else. So it's not just the physical postures, it's really a full, all senses involved experience that takes you somewhere new. And through that, you know, has us feel that expansive connection to nature when we're possibly not able to actually go into nature. So it has that element to it. Also, the series that I am a part of, it's called the Foundation Series, and it's on Vizio, is in effect a way for people to go from no knowledge of yoga or vinyasa yoga or asana yoga to an actual place to start from. So it's really broken down, and we've used the way that we've filmed to help with people learning. So it's visual learning style. So for instance, I'm filmed in a way that I am pretty much life size, so that someone on our screens here in studio would be seeing like the actual proportions of a pose according to their body. So it's really kinesthetically easy for people to learn. And even at home, you're gonna see like the whole posture, and it's gonna be a really consistent view. And then we have this technology where we actually use picture in picture to zoom in on hand positioning and joint positioning. So it's really next level in that we're using our sophisticated way of filming to teach yoga, as well as have that beautiful, immersive, expansive feeling of being somewhere new.
Now, is this filmed on location in Morocco, or do you do a green screen process where somebody has the film or the videotape and you green screen it in with the action that takes place?
Good question. It's all on location. And as you start to become familiar with our different content, you know, you'll see it's on location. Like, for instance, there's some of the filming in Morocco where you'll see a goat kind of cross the screen, or maybe you'll see the wind blow through like a yoga mat and things like that. I mean, it's on location, and it has, you know, the feeling of reality. So that's a reason why it's so transportive. No green screens at all.
We're talking about Sanctuary. It's one of the newer smart TV programming services currently available on Vizio smart TV sets. Hopefully soon it will be on other smart sets as well as TV Connect devices like Roku, Amazon Fire, et cetera, et cetera. And they're also working with Cinedigm, the multi-channel programming player that we featured along with Jukin Media, another one dealing with services that are out of user-generated content. They were both with us last month on Smartly Televised, one of our most well-received episodes, I might add. If you want to check it out, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We're still getting replays on it every day, and it's really, really great. We're speaking with the two people who make Sanctuary happen, the Chief Executive Officer Robert Martin and Director Sarah Goble. They're both live with us from Seattle, Washington, Pacific Northwest, this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Avalon, we're live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard this Monday afternoon. 73 degrees at the top of the hour here in New Weber, York. If you have a question or comment for both of our guests, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, Friday on Smartly Televised, we have our second 90-minute edition of the week for you. We'll kick it off with the people from IFP Week, the famous film and TV festival that's going virtual for the first time here in the New York area. We'll speak with Deputy Director Kia Brooks and the Senior Episodic TV Manager Gabrielle Capolino. And then, another new performance service that recently started. It's called Chopper Town. It's for all the folks who love motorcycles and being on them in the open road. We will have the founder of that service, Zach Kaufman. And finally, we'll have the commissioner of one of the newest sports that's really catching on, particularly in these pandemic times, on ESPN. She is the commissioner of the American Cornhole League, founder and commissioner Stacey Moore. It's all coming up live and exclusive Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Robert, how much of the programming is yoga, and how much of the programming is meditation and similar situations?
Sure. So I would say 80% of the programming is yoga. Another 15% is meditation, where it's the beautiful, epic backdrop with a voiceover to match, where they walk you through a guided meditation. And then we have a couple programs as well. In a modality called sound healing, which is actually quite popular in New York as well as here in Seattle. And that's really a recorded session that it uses a number of different instruments to create this resonance that causes a relaxed state for anyone sort of listening to and viewing, you know, the immersive content that we match to that. So if someone has a 5-1, you know, system especially attached to their TV, those sound healing sessions, you know, are remarkably compelling.
Sarah, when you film or tape these programs in various countries, first of all, do you have any issues getting into the countries to do your thing? And secondly, how do you put the program together? How do you determine here's where we're going to film or tape, here's the exercises we're going to do, here's what we want, here's the messages or the philosophy we want to get across in each episode?
Yeah, that's a good question. Of course, the pre-pandemic times was a much different filming schedule than now. You'll see Clara Roberts Off and Nico Liche are the instructors that are filmed in both Mexico and Morocco. And we filmed that content first. That was the first thing out of the gate that we filmed. And Nico actually is based out of Switzerland, so Morocco worked for him and his schedule, and, you know, no trouble at all, of course, getting into the country back then. And he had spent quite a bit of time there with his retreat schedule. And then Clara happened to be in Mexico at the time when we filmed her as well. And they, of course, chose a lot of their themes, and we asked for different levels, of course, to appeal to all different levels of yoga practitioners' experience. And then I personally have filmed mostly in Seattle, where I'm based, as well as in Tofino in British Columbia. And again, we were in Canada, we were in British Columbia before the pandemic. Our next round of filming is scheduled to be in Oregon, due to the fact that it's closer to our headquarters. It's much easier to get there with you know, some of the concerns of today's environment. But of course, we're having a little bit of a slowdown in our planning schedule with the fires and the smoke and the air quality what they are right now. So of course we're adapting like so many other companies to today's environment, but we're finding that our in-studio experience of people being able to come in and practice our beautiful immersive content that transports them to, you know, different parts of the world, you know, right now is just like custom built for this time. Plus we have, you know, a beautiful situation where people are breathing clean air within our spaces and can be in a group of just two, someone that they choose, or solo when they practice as well. So that was I was odd there, and then brought us back to, you know, where we are now.
Yeah. Robert, when Richard Hillman and Lydia Stolen did their thing, it was basically one camera, bare set, no replay, no ability to slow-mo, no, you know, because in the case of Hillman, it was on film. In the case of Fullest and Lydia Stolen, it was on tape. But it was very bare bones. Given the fact that you have all of these camera tools and effects in play, do you do a lot of effect work or a lot of special camera work? Replay, slow-mo, Sarah mentioned picture-in-picture to sort of illustrate or pinpoint more about what people can get out of doing yoga or meditation.
Well, as Sarah mentioned earlier, we do use picture-in-picture for some certain movements where we the backdrop becomes the main screen, and then the movement itself is in the PIP window. But it's a two-camera shoot, so we're not, you know, we are purposely trying to, as Sarah mentioned earlier, keep the aspect ratio of the individual as if they're standing in front of you in a class. So we don't do a lot of panning around, and we do that certainly with respect to the immersive environments, but not with respect to the instruction itself, because we find that that's a bit distracting and hard to follow. And so as a result, this is a very straightforward angle in which we believe you have the best perspective, the same way you would in an actual class.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from independent producers who have heard about your service and say to you, I'd like to produce shows for you, I'd like to jump in maybe as a contributor of content?
Oh yeah, many. In fact, a number of the online providers have seen our stuff and they've wanted to license it. We've literally had several reach out, and at this point, you know, we're keeping it contained to the OTT environment, and to of course our physical studios that are the deployment plan of which is significant, including possibly coming to you near you soon, Simon, in New York, by the way. But that said, we will likely have a New York site reasonably soon. But in the meantime, we are restraining the online flow of the content. So really the only place to view it is in an OTT environment and currently just on Vizio with prospectively a few more platforms added in the near future.
How fast are you going to go beyond Vizio? In other words, have more smart TV sets with a Samsung, LG, Hisense, as well as get on the Rokus, the Amazon Fire TVs, et cetera, et cetera. And you mentioned you have the relationship with Cinedigm, which is fast becoming one of the major multi-channel distributors of smart TV content.
As you mentioned, I mean, Cinedigm, you know, will certainly navigate that rollout. And, you know, as you probably know, once you're on one platform, the transition to the next is a pretty quick and seamless process. So we'll follow their lead in terms of, you know, availability of our content on, you know, a multitude of prospective platforms.
Yeah. Sarah, how is the fires as well as the pandemic impacting where you can produce? We know that there now is more production happening Los Angeles, New York, other parts of the country, Vancouver, British Columbia, Montreal, Toronto. They're now back in production. So far, very few problems. In terms of the coronavirus impacting shows getting made, are you looking at, if fires continue, are you looking at other alternative sites? Robert mentioned New York. Are you looking at other sites as well around the country or in Canada to create new programs?
Yeah, well, you know, right now we have definitely followed a lot of the protocols to be able to be in production. As far as, you know, for safety around COVID and, you know, all the precautions and following the guidelines to do so. And we're ready to start production again. However, with the air quality what it is, we had planned to do our next round of filming in Oregon, and therefore we're just playing it by ear. if the smoke is not clearing, then we will reschedule. I think a lot of people are experiencing this, just needing to adapt to whatever comes our way, and that's definitely where we are. We will likely postpone our next round of filming, that's where we're at.
Robert, final question. How big do you think this service can be, given the interest level now, let's say, in yoga, meditation, and similar physical fitness venues?
Yeah, well, I mean, interesting yoga, it continues to grow, you know, at a, you know, 20% rate, you know, 10 to 20% rate, depending on whether physical in studio. And I think there's going to be an increased demand, especially for yoga, given the unfortunate circumstance that's occurring and that many physical yoga studios are not going to make it through the pandemic. So it does feel like the demand for this type of content in an OTT environment or online environment generally is increasing quite rapidly, whether it's through, you know, providers like Peloton or others, but also within these environments that frankly are difficult to get to these days, we're going to continue to push on, you know, finding these beautiful immersive landscapes and filming around those so we can hopefully help transport folks, you know, in Hollywood cinematic, you know, quality to these corresponding locations. I should also mention our production director was a longtime Hollywood operative, and she's been incredible at choosing these locations, scouting these locations, and producing the content and the eventual full episodes that we now have out in the OTT environment.
You know, Richard Hillman and Lilia Folan were really the groundbreakers in bringing yoga programming into television. Hillman, sad to say, passed away, I think, back in the 1990s because of prostate cancer in California. Lilia Folan is still around, although she's no longer doing yoga programming for PBS. And I'm curious if Richard was still around, or Lilia, what do you think of yoga programming moving to the point where now it can be a 24/7 service available around the country through smart TV sets and smart devices. Be interesting to see what a world yoga and meditation is coming into in the 21st century. The service is called Sanctuary. It is now available on Vizio smart TV sets. Soon it should go on other smart sets and smart TV devices. We'll keep you posted. If you want more details about the service, this is where you go online, meetsanctuary.com. That's meet, N-E-E-T, sanctuary, all one phrase, .com. Sanctuary, available now on Vizio SmartCast TVs, hopefully more other smart TV devices and sets in the very near future. Robert Martin, the Chief Executive Officer of the service, Sarah Goble, the Director, thank you both for coming on. Congratulations on getting the service off the ground in a smart TV way, and hopefully a long-running one down the road. And also, like we said with Vikram in San Francisco, thoughts and prayers to everybody who is dealing with the wildfires in Washington and Oregon and in the neck of the woods, and hopefully we will get this handled and get it handled soon.
Thanks so much, Simon.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Robert and Sarah. Take care. Have a great week ahead.
All right, you do the same.
You too. Bye-bye.
Robert Martin and Sarah Goble joining us live from the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington. This half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And nobody got our last question over the last 2 weeks, so let's give the answer to that before we move on. The question was simple. Name the 2010 television series on Fox co-starring Chadwick Boseman. The answer, Persons Unknown. That's right, Persons Unknown. It premiered, it was on the air for 13 weeks 10 years ago this very summer. Unfortunately, it was designed as a multi-year saga. It only ran 1 year. But it got Chadwick Boseman in eyes of many, many people. And, of course, it was right before his incredible string of movies, including Black Panther. So, once again, the answer, Persons Unknown, was the 2010 Fox television drama co-starring Chadwick Boseman. Well, next Sunday night, we've got the Emmy Awards, Primetime Emmys, coming up on ABC, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. Yours truly, by the way, is going to be covering the virtual press room for the very first time. First time I've covered the Emmys in person in some shape or form in several decades. So in honor of that, here's our current classic trivia question. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win, as we offered the last 2 weeks, Becoming Ginger Rogers, the book about how ballroom dancing made me a happier woman, better partner, and smarter chief executive officer, Patrice Tanaka, published by Ben Bella. And three episodes brought us Fish Tank Kings from Nat Geo Wild. Here's the question. What comedy series won the first Emmy for Best Comedy Series? What comedy series won the first Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series? It took place in the early 1950s, and we'll give you another hint. It was not I Love Lucy. Believe it or not, it was not I Love Lucy. Once again, the question, what comedy series won the first Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series back in the early 1950s? And again, it was not I Love Lucy. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you send by email, enclose your name and your full mailing address so if you win, to get the prize out to you as soon as possible. Let me give you the question once again. What comedy series won the first Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series? And it was not I Love Lucy. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. And don't forget, Primetime Emmy Awards, Sunday night, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel from L.A. That's 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific time. It's live and virtual on both posts on your local ABC station. Also, the Creative Arts Emmy Award telecast will be happening the night before at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on FXX, and I will be covering that as well from the special virtual press room. And hopefully we'll have some Emmy reaction on Monday's program. So once again, Emmy Awards, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on your local ABC station. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We have a program all about TV's current and future, coming your way 90 minutes today, 90 minutes on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We're also presented on the IR Radio Podcast Network. And I'm delighted to announce that we will be starting this week having some of our podcasts available on a regular basis at MediaNotes.com. That is the media destination that I write columns for on a regular basis. The media leadership website from Jack Myers. By the way, Jack Myers is having his latest leadership conversation at MediaNotes.com tomorrow afternoon. It's all about cinema and cinema advertising. Now the movie theaters are coming back in vogue around the country. They'll have one of the key executives at National Cinema, Cinema Media, the cinema advertising field, and also somebody from Regal Cinemas as well. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, and that is 10 a.m. Pacific at MediaVillage.com. Not too late to be involved with that. I'll be writing a column on that later in the week. So once again, check out my podcast on a regular basis starting this week at MediaVillage.com, www.MediaVillage.com. When we come back, we are going live to Munich, Germany, and we're speaking with the executive producer of the new Crackle drama, Spies. Bert Schlatterer will join me after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You're catching Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, and Spreaker.com, together reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, Blog Talk Radio is your home for the popular weekday series, Kings in the Morning. Check out Jay King and Clue tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best feature on 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Monday afternoon, the 14th of September 2020, one day before the Ides. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Sean Applebaum here along with you live from New York, where it is 73 degrees at the top of the hour. Another great guest coming your way from across the Atlantic. And if you have a question or comment for him, ring the phone 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. We've got our chat room in business, Simon Apple 04 by name. You can find that and respond at blogtalkradio.com/televised. And, of course, while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, or TuneIn stream. Follow the instructions of people can be live with you. It's been a long while since Crackle, the smart TV set and device plumbing service that used to be owned by Sony, has come up with an original scripted drama. This Thursday, however, that long wait is over with a brand new, very unusual drama called Spies. Here to talk about it is the executive producer of both the program and the production company behind it, live from Munich, Germany, in an internet radio exclusive, Bert Schlatterer. Bert, thank you very much for coming on board.
Hi, Simon. I'm very pleased to be on your show.
Thank you, thank you. And we are very pleased to have you. Talk about Spies. What is the program about?
Well, Spies is set in modern-day Berlin. It follows Nora, a young woman who wakes up from a coma without any memory of her previous life after taking a mysterious drug. And local police detectives, David Leonhardt and his partner, Nick Navarre, are hunting down the drug in relation to dozens of missing teens. But when Nora sets out to discover what happened to her, she begins to unravel a conspiracy of aliens who are using a synthetic drug to infiltrate humans to use as host bodies. The more truth Nora uncovers, the more of her own dark secret is revealed. She's the key to the invasion she's actually fighting. Yeah? That's the plot.
Yeah. Bert, you, in addition to executive producing this program, you run the production company called Paladin Media, which is making this series. Who created Spies, and how did it come your way?
Well, Spies is an original idea by our showrunner, Rainer Mazzutani, who is one of the leading showrunners we have here in Europe, half Japanese and half German descendant. He's a big, big, big sci-fi fan since his childhood, and he was inspired by cult movies like Body Snatchers, and he had this idea. And what you need to know that actually Germany is one of the biggest sci-fi countries in Europe next to the UK. And had a long tradition of that, starting the 30s to the 60s. And then the genre went a bit sleepy, and he was a big fan, and we wanted to recreate that buzz and bring that to the world. And Rainer came up with this fantastic idea and wanted to make it real big, you know, not just a local German show, making of international big event appeal. And that's how we met, given my background, and we decided we need to try this, and then we found Universal Studios to commit to it for the international channels. And that's how the whole journey started.
Mm-hmm. And how did the series get Crackle Board to present it here in the United States?
We got in contact with Crackle's sister company, Screen Media, who were following the series, and they had great appetite for something so unusual, also starring very international stars like, you know, if you take our leads, like Rosabella Rentesellers from Game of Thrones, or Florence Katsumba, who the world knows from Avengers and Black Panther, or Wonder Woman, and Falk Henschel, who is always in Legends of Tomorrow. And so they said, well, this is really a big, you know, American cast for an audience. And so they tracked it. They saw what we did, and they said we must have this in the original, and boarded the show.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we should point out that Crackle, which used to be owned by Sony, is now owned by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. They run Screen Media, which also distributes films online, also in movie theaters. And Chicken Soup is working on a number of scripted series, both for smart TV sets apart from Crackle and for distribution on Crackle and its other programming services. Is the program in filmed just in English, or is it being filmed? Was it filmed in several languages because of the possibilities of international distribution?
No, we filmed it in English. Huh? And while we assembled an international, you know, star cast, we were, you know, looking from the beginning to cast only people who could basically deliver native speaking English, to make it perfectly lip sync for the also all Anglo-Saxon markets. And by the way, in Berlin is such an international city, so many international people speak English, is really spoken everywhere. So, you know, it doesn't feel strange to anyone here that it's the original language is English, even here from the German point of view.
No. We're talking about Spies. It's the first original drama series on Crackle in quite some time. Crackle available on smart TV sets and smart devices, ad-supported, I might add. And as I said, run by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. They've been doing it now for about a year and a half. And Spies begins on Crackle this Thursday. We are speaking with the executive producer of the program, Rex Schroeder. He is also the head of Paladin Media, the production company making the program. And we'll talk about later on what Paladin Media wants to do from here on in the world of international TV, English language included. Bert joins us live from Munich, Germany. He is our first guest, by the way, from there in the 13-plus year history of this program. So congratulations on that. And he joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. We want to hear from you. So make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up near the end of our program, we have an anniversary to celebrate. One of the groundbreaking syndicated shows has a major anniversary to mark tonight on your local TV station, and we'll talk about that in a little while. So stay tuned for that subject as well. Bert, what was it like to put this show together with an international cast, with an international production crew, shooting in Berlin for international distribution? What are some of the things you had to deal with? And is this the first time you've done an English language series of this kind?
It's the first time we've done an English language series in Germany, which was not, you know, sometimes you have English feature films or series who just decide to shoot somewhere, and basically the whole team just moves here. But here, it was something developed out of, you know, German authors, German teams, German crews, and, you know, shooting this in English and attracting major talent from around the world to come to Germany. So it is something extremely unique, never done before, here in Germany, in particular then shooting on top of it, all of that in English. And but it was a very, very good experience, I must say, you know. Thankfully, we were able to, you know, assemble an astonishing team on the set who basically were able to bridge that cultural experience. And you can see the big fun the crew had on the screen.
Yeah. And this is a very interesting show because the premise is very offbeat. There's elements of science fiction. There's elements of contemporary drama. There's elements of detective procedural. And you also have the fact that the cast comes from all over the place. How quickly did the chemistry between the actors evolve? Because it's not, you not only have someone in the lead role, the girl who is dealing with, you know, getting her memory back and finding out what exactly really is happening. But you also have this whole ensemble of people around her that are involved in the action one way or the other.
Well, the chemistry was extremely great, and this is also thanks to Rainer, you know, the showrunner. But, you know, the cast we were able to attract and able to pick, all of them exciting about doing something that unusual, you know, out of Germany, which is, and so they all wanted to do that, you know, like Florence, who is in between a big Marvel movies and some other big shows, you know, she made the time to do it, and so did others like Falco, you know, and the United sort of doing something, you know, for the first time, very special, you know, I think must have led to this fantastic chemistry. You know, usually you always have some tension on the set and some people who do not disagree, but this was such a smooth ride that we could never have imagined. And I must also say very much thanks to what I know had a great hand of directing and making sure the show stayed on track. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. In seeing some of the clips, Berlin comes across as much a major character as anybody else. How did you want Berlin to be portrayed in the series?
Yeah, well, you know, Berlin has become a hip place to show in movies and series, but usually the Berlin you can see there is the Berlin in your face, you know, the known signs, the Brandenburger Gates, you know, and all of these things. But what Berlin is here in Europe and in the world is the gripping underground culture, the clubbing scene, you know, the drugs are spread to the clubbing scenes in the series, the underground scene, the dark side, you know, the melting pot sides of former East and West. And we wanted to show that part, that dark part, and marry that with the dark feeling of the alien invasion, yeah? And no Berlin in your face. But at the same time showing what is fascinating to the young crowd to populate Berlin today. Yeah? And that was the goal. That's what we wanted to bring on the screen to an international audience, and we believe that's what people can relate to.
Yeah. When the series was being filmed, was there any sort of, let's say, reference to famous films that were shot in Germany in the past, whether it was The Third Man or Berlin Express? We just had quite a run lately on Turner Classic Movies, a film that a lot of people have rediscovered, I'm happy to say, with Joseph Cotten and crew. And he was also, of course, in The Third Man as well with Orson Welles, one of the great films of all time, directed by Carol Reed. What kind of feeling was there in terms of inspiration? You know, were films inspiring for this? Was there a book that was inspiring, a science fiction tale, sort of a similar plot? Any inspirations?
Yeah, of course. Well, we had no references, you know, we made no references to older masterpieces, or some of them you quoted. But, for example, one film which inspired a lot the concept how the alien invasion works was the movie The Body Snatchers, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Huh? Basically, where people take control of human bodies, aliens take control of human bodies, yeah? And then walk around like humans. And that element is a key element we also have in the show, because that we do exactly the same thing. And so it becomes a little bit for the people a paranoia show, that they realize that, you know, other people change around them and they don't know why. They still believe they're humans. They don't recognize them as aliens. Huh? And then they slowly start to disbelieve and then they realize, you know, what's really happening. And that was a big inspiration to the movie. But in terms of the set and the setting, we wanted to be original, you know. I mean, Berlin, after the reunification to today, became very special. You know, as I said, we have a gripping, very special international underground scene, which you hardly find in any other city of the world. And that's what we wanted to have, you know. It's new and it had to be shown. Huh?
Were there any themes of paranoia that get explored here? I think of films like The Manchurian Candidate or Seconds or The Parallax View or others which one way or the other deal with people getting caught in the middle of these unworthy situations and deal with some aspect of paranoia. In fact, recently I saw a film, a World War II movie was on, Turner Classic, called 36 Hours with James Garner and Eva Marie Saint and Rod Taylor. Deals with someone who is, because of drugs, led to believe that the World War II is over when it really isn't. And that, of course, it leads to the story.
Yes, that's the same way. Even if it's upside down, you know, people start to believe in the aliens, and start to act on behalf of them.
And it's interesting that we are seeing, like, all of a sudden, this little mini burst of story of series dealing with aliens. We had Raised by Wolves, that HBO Max just presented. Ridley Scott doing his first TV directing job. It's all about aliens raising kids in a futuristic planet. You have a situation where aliens may be behind this dastardly conspiracy effort that these characters are dealing with. It just seems that we're seeing like another round of these alien dramas where, is, you know, are aliens good or aliens bad? Are there like more than one type of alien that we will ultimately deal with society we don't know about? It's a fascinating situation that this show is coming in while we're seeing this like new blitz of alien dramas or dramas involving aliens to some degree.
I agree. I mean, it's a wave, a new way of looking at it. Also, in our shows, you know, you have humans who are helping the aliens. Yeah, for example, we have a human professor who is like a genius, a little bit of Steve Hawkins type of guy, who helps them to do that because he realizes that these aliens are, in some aspects of what they do, superior to human beings. You know, he thinks humans are just destroying Earth and they are really not worth it, why these aliens, the spies, they are organized as a collective society and, you know, are somehow, you know, cooperating for the greater good, protecting it. Yeah? And that's why he helps them. And so the aspects are not only bad. Yeah? It's not like this, the bad aliens invading, you know, the good humans. There's some blur area which makes it interesting. And I think other shows which you were mentioning, where you have aliens raising humans and all that, you have this, you know, you no longer have these classic view of the bad aliens.
Yeah. And way back when, we also had a lot of theories where the aliens were always the bad people. I remember The Invaders with Roy Sims from Quinn Martin in the late 60s, where he witnesses a flying saucer landing on Earth, and all the aliens pretty much are, you know, aliens who want to control the Earth and everything about it. And he's like the one person of sanity trying to say, hey, the nightmare has already started. We got to do something about it. It's really, really amazing. The program again is called Five, and it begins this Thursday on Crackle. It's their first original scripted drama in quite a while, and there'll be more scripted dramas from Crackle and comedies, too, coming in the very near future. We've got Bert Schauderer with us. He is live from Munich, Germany. He's the executive producer of the program, as well as the production company behind it. That's what we're going to talk about next. So if you have a question or comment for him, well, make that call in our meeting minutes, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. Next Monday, that's where we televise. Brand new network is scheduled to debut. It's called Extreme Vibe. We hope to have the executive in charge of the service before we have a special launch party in Harlem that Monday night. And so keep in touch. We are trying to arrange that right now, and we hope to have that person as our lead guest next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Bert, talk about Paladin, which is your production company. To be, by the way, not confused with Paladin, the, of course, character from Richard Boone playing in Have Gun, Will Travel. How long has your production company been around, and talk about why you decided to get in that way.
Paladin is 10 years old, and we do theatrical distribution. We own a few SVOD and AVOD services in Europe and in Turkey. And we are, you know, producing both feature films and series and some nonfiction programming. And we are, you know, more and more, you know, producing in English both the fiction and the nonfiction movies because we can reach a bigger audience. We want our shows to be shown in the U.S., so we're extremely proud about Crackle, yeah, choosing Fights for their first original, yeah, since a long time. But it's a strategy which we are continuing in. You know, for example, the next is a the next show which is coming up is a series for the BBC, yeah, in English. It's a environmental murder crime series. We have a non-fiction documentary series, Evolution of Driving, about iconic cars, now, present, and the future, also produced in English. And we have a show about Darwin, a new series, again, produced in English with some partners in Latin America, won the Emmy. We work with on the Jesuits, won the International Emmy for Best non-English-speaking primetime programming 2 years ago. So it seems to be our sweet choice to choose English as an international language and try to be as broad as possible in our reach. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Do you see not only your company, but also other production companies in Germany doing more programming for the U.S. marketplace in English, or for such as the Netflix, because we now know that they've become a world programmer, who is trying, other people are trying to be that, to have multilingual programming out of Germany, whether it's from your company or
yes,
from other productions?
Yes, you know, this is a... You know, as you say, you know, I mean, it has been a big driver behind that development in the last 5 years. It's certainly Netflix and also Amazon, yeah, who put German shows up in German and also in English. And you know, I think that led to the fact that also even services who are just U.S.-based, you know, discover that audience like that, and not only Germans, but also other international shows, and it becomes a more open market, you know. I mean, it's fantastic for us here. I'm in this business since 93, you know, in the 90s or even in the 2000 years, you couldn't imagine having a German show in the U.S. That wouldn't happen. But we're glad it's that way now.
Well, what's really wonderful is that you have all these programming services that are so hungry for original content that they're willing to either run programming in other languages or to encourage production companies in Germany, in the Netherlands, in India, in Japan, in Korea, to produce English language material for worldwide distribution. If you get a second season of Spies, do you already have plans for what you might do with that second season without giving up, you know, too much? We don't want to do spoiler alerts here, but any sense about how
you have the development for season two is completely ready. So it's as though the invasion continues, yeah? And our characters develop. I can't give too much away, otherwise I would spoil what's happened in the first season. But the second season is again, you know, targeting 8 times 1 hour, and yeah, we hope we will be able to do that.
Well, we will see. But what we can tell you is the first season of Spies is now playing, will soon be playing, I should say, Thursday. That's Thursday on Crackle. It's available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. So check that your service has that. And if for more details about the program online and all the other attractions that Crackle is running now and in the future, here's where you go. Crackle.com. Crackle, C-R-A-C-K-L-E.com. Spies begins this Thursday. Bert Schroeder of Crackle and of Paladin Films and the executive producer of Spies, thank you again for joining us from Munich, Germany. We really do appreciate it. Congratulations on getting the series finally off the ground here in the United States, and hopefully a great long run in store for this, and hopefully for future English language productions and other productions that you do here and around the world. It's been a great pleasure having you on, Bert.
Thank you for having me. I hope you enjoy Spies. Have great fun with it. Thank you.
Definitely think everybody will, and that's all thanks to you and your production company and your great cast and crew. Take care. All the greatest.
Thank you, Simon. Take care. Love your show.
You too, Brian. Thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Bert Schroeder joining us live from Munich, Germany, our first guest from that wonderful city right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tonight, one of the landmark syndicated television shows, and frankly one of the landmark TV shows ever, will be marking its 40th anniversary. I'm speaking about Entertainment Tonight. Who knew when it went on the air 40 years ago tonight that this series, the first ever to do entertainment news and deliver it in half-hour daily format or nightly format to television stations via satellite same day, would be the big hit and the iconic hit it has become. And, of course, everybody knows this theme. What Michael Marr did back then in 1980, it is still around. And, of course, Mary Hart, a lot of John Tesh, a lot of great people anchored the show over the years. Now it's Kevin Frazier's turn. So to Kevin and all the cast and crew at Paramount making the program happen, congratulations on reaching year 40, hopefully 40 more. Entertainment Tonight, 7 to 7:30 Eastern Time on local stations across the country, distributed by CBS Paramount Television, and celebrating the start of its fifth decade on the air. And before we go, we have a quick update. On Friday's program, we had Rob Silverstein, the former executive producer of another long-running entertainment news program, Access Hollywood. Well, his new program is People TV, which deals with entertainment, pop culture, and a whole lot more from a people standpoint, based, of course, on the famous magazine. And in case you don't know, People TV begins tonight on the People TV Smart TV programming service, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. It is also running on TV stations across the country, syndicated by Meredith. It's on the Meredith stations in places like Atlanta and St. Louis. It's also on other stations in Hartford, New Haven, and elsewhere around the country. So check your local ones where People TV begins tonight. Again, it's on Smart TV sets and Smart TV devices. The People TV service run by Meredith, 7 p.m. Eastern Time is the start time. And if you want to catch our interview that we did with Rob last Friday, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And in case you missed the announcement last half hour, starting this week, we hope to have our podcast presented on a regular basis at Media Village, the media leadership website. That's MediaVillage.com, so watch for that. It's MediaVillage.com. Tomorrow we televise on podcast, coming your way, hopefully, before the end of this week on a regular basis. One night all, I guess, for being here, all of you for being here. Don't forget, we have another 90 edition coming your way on Friday, and my guest will be from IFP Week, Deputy Director Kia Brooks, and the Senior Manager of Fox TV Activity, Gabrielle Capolino. Then, from the new motorcycle Smart TV Forming Service, Chopper Town, we will have founder Zach Kaufman, and the founder and commissioner of the popular American Cornhole League, whose activity you find weekend afternoons on ESPN, both indoor and outdoor live, Stacey Moore. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up with episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast available on iTunes, Apple TV, Speaker Podcast, Tune.com, iHeartRadio.com, and this week, MediaVillage.com. We want to hear from you. What do you think about our program today? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. However you deal with us, we want to hear from you, and we do respond within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not through those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, head of content. The co-founders of the enterprise, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televise with Blog Talk Radio, Audible.com, and Amazon Division. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook, too, if you're an Amazon Prime member, it's audibletrial.com/televise. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great week ahead. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Please keep thoughts and prayers for everybody involved with the fires going on in the Pacific Northwest and throughout California. And let's hope that they get licked sooner rather than later, as well as this pandemic, which we hope to get done again sooner rather than later. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.